I wanted to publicly welcome Yaakov Noam Daskal, returning to the yeshiva. It's great to see you. Great to have you back. Okay, I like to do, first I'll take my mask off. I like to do full disclosure. I had very little time to prepare this time. I wasn't 100% sure it was my turn, and I was just hoping that it wasn't. And then I found out, like, I think on Tuesday that it was, but there was no shaychus with the Azkara and the other things going on, to even give the shmooze yesterday. And then it was packed the day yesterday, so I had like 10, 15 minutes. I'm confessing, you could slug it up, because I didn't work on this a long time, but I do sometimes when I prepare shmuzim, so like I have all these havamina shmuzim that I don't say, so I just like write down the marmokra and I throw it in a box, and this is one of those, you know, things I took out the way it was a shmuz here. I think there is a shmuz here, I'm going to say it, but you could slug it up. Like, forget it, I'll be happy if you slugged it up, because it shows that if you prepare longer, you don't get slugged up. So you can slug it up. I'm very happy. Okay, this Rabbeinu Bechai. So the pasuk says, "Vayisu bnei Yisrael miRamses Sukkosa." Bnei Yisrael went from Ramses to Sukkos. Kishesh meos elef ragli agvarim levad mitav. There were 600,000 people, ragli agvarim, legs of the people, levad mitav, aside from the children. 600,000 minus the children. Or not minus, without the children. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, Kishesh meos elef ragli. Haloshen hazeh yora. This language teaches us, Shelo hayu shesh meos elef shleimim. There weren't 600,000 exact. What's the lashon? It says, Kishesh. Like 600,000. Because the Torah did not mention the exact number specifically, how many people, nor did it say how many were missing from the 600,000. Like sometimes you say, 40 minus 1, how much malchus do you get, 40 minus 1. Sometimes it says that. I always wonder why it says it that way, but, you know, it's 40 minus 1. It's 39. Okay, Nira, there are a lot of tourism to that. Nira, so because the Torah didn't write the exact number that it was, or the exact number that was lacking from the 600,000, Nira Lomrad, so you have to say, Shlo hayu chaserim kiim echad. Therefore, we learn from here, it was only missing one. Didn't want to mention the number Sheish Mil Selef Chasar Achas. Didn't want to say it that way. So it said it, Kishesh Meos. Okay? V'chem Matzasi Perik Reb Elazar Perik Lamates. He found the same thing in Perik Reb Elazar. K'shol Yisrael Mitzrayim. When Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Nisiachsu, Kol Agvarim Shishim Ribu Chaser Achad. There were 600 minus 1. Mas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Nichnas B'minyan Imoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted himself with them. V'olam Misparim Shishim Ribu. That take the number up to 600,000. Hushanemar V'nochi Elcha Gam Ola. Hashem went with them Ad Kan. So notice, you see that he was right, that there was 600 minus 1. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make it a full, to make a minion. You know, sometimes you need a center. So here you need a 600,000, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu added the minyan. So I apologize, but I had a very simple kasha. Come on, it's 599,999. It's 600,000. Why can't you say 600,000? 599,999, you can't say 600,000? So, okay, that's a little bit more simple. So, we see the hair. in how exact you have to be. Okay, because you can't, even for 600, for 999, you can't say 600,000. Okay, that was more simple. It's just a deher. I would say that, you know, when I was learning Chumash in my class, I would say that, nice deher. But I wouldn't have said the shmooze just for that one. But the next one, I feel bad, I'm going to finish in a minute. But the next deher, that I felt I could say over in the 10, 15 minutes I had. But what would be if it would be 598? 998. Then you also wouldn't say ki sheish meos elef. Now, you can't say like 600,000 if it was 599,998. Then you're mechuyev to say what the exact number was. It's not kishesh meos. You're missing two people. What kind of kishesh meos elef? So you see, that to me was like struck me even more. You can't even say kishesh meos if it was 599,998. That was my bigger chiddush, but it's just one of those deheres that puts the achrayas of emes into a league that is so far beyond what we're used to. We are so flagrant. I'm speaking to myself too. We are so flagrant with exaggeration and speech that nothing means anything. I didn't mean that. You know, I meant this. And sometimes we even delude ourselves. Our speech is so haphazard. And look, the Torah wouldn't even say approximate. You can't even say approximately 600,000 people if it was missing more than one. What do you mean approximately 600,000? So have this amazing sefer. I just wanted to bring a couple of the mices, just to bring home this point. So the Chafetz Chaim was, you know, as he was becoming a little well known, so he was going to a town and he had just finished writing Chelek Echad, first Chelek of Mishnah Berurah. He was still trying to be anonymous, but it had come out that it was the Chafetz Chaim. And he walked into a shul, and there was a sign. They asked him, they wanted to chabad him to speak in the shul, and it said that the shul is being addressed by the shul mayor, HaKohen, Baal Mechaber. I'm reading from this, I'm telling you what it said on the sign. Baal Mechaber Sefer Mishnah Berurah Al Or HaChaim. That's what it said on the sign. So Chofetz Chaim, when he was coming into the shul to speak, he took out his pen and he wrote onto the sign, Le'es Ata Hofia Rak Chelek Echad Shel Mishnah Berurah Ad Simen Kuf Chav Ches. You know, so you can't write Baal Mechaber Sefer Mishnah Berurah Al Or HaChaim. I didn't write a Sefer in Or HaChaim. I only wrote Abatul Simen Kuf Chav Ches, which is only Chelek Echad. He didn't do Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav. You can't write, you know, Baal Mechaber, Sefer Mishnah Berurah. I saw this other Maisa that the Panovich Arav, so he would eat in Panovich on Leil Rosh Hashanah, first night Rosh Hashanah, when they have all the Simanim, he would eat by himself in a room in the yeshiva, not with the Bachrim. And even after his first wife passed away, even after he remarried to the second Rebbetzin, he still came to yeshiva by himself and he ate by himself in the room. Of course, nobody's going to go to the yeshiva to ask him why he's eating by himself in a room, but there's always one mechutzef in the crowd. Every yeshiva has their one mechutzef, you know. Don't say the names. Every yeshiva has one mechutzef. So one mechutzef, after a few years, built up the courage, and he asked the Rosh Yeshiva why he's away from his family, and the first night Rosh Hashanah, why he eats by himself. So he answered
because when he was, one year he was raising funds for the yeshiva, many, many years earlier, he had been in Chicago. It must have been the early years in America, United States of America, post-war, and he had gone to Chicago, and he went to shul, and a balabas, a very big veer, invited him to first Net Rosh Hashanah to come to his house. It was America, Chicago, Bichlal. He didn't know what the story was. It didn't look so good. And he said that, you know, first night Rosh Hashanah, he always eats by himself. So from then on, he always ate by himself. You know, you'd think that he had the teretz. You know, he ate by himself. He got out of it. L'man HaShalom, maybe he could say it. I don't know, the probably haterim one could find or use. But the rest of his life, first night Rosh Hashanah, he ate by himself in a room. This is very noted that Aaron Cutler, when he started Lakewood, the office wanted to make stationery. They made stationery. They showed it to Aaron, you know, before they made it. What was it? And they put a picture on top of the building, you know, Aaron Cutler, you know, Rosh Shiva and Dean. And he posseled it. Why? Because they had a tree in the picture, and there are no trees in front of the building. So they didn't have not so many trees, so they finally did it down. They cut it down to be more what they have. And I guess they had some trees, but not that many trees, not 600,000. But in the picture, they had so many. Then they came back with a second. And he posseled that one also because they limited, they only had the three trees there, and Rav Aaron said only two trees, not three trees. So they posseled that one too. Then there's this maisa, I heard it myself from Lieutenant Birnbaum. He spoke in yeshiva, the old building. We had him down here speaking. So I don't know if anyone saw the book, Lieutenant Birnbaum. He was a Talmud in Chaim Berlin, and he got drafted into the army. And he tells stories about how the Hashkacha Pratis and what happened and so many great stories. Read the book. He said the stories from the book, but it's a fantastic book and art scroll. And he told us over that everyone was getting the, I forgot what the form is called, but the, you know, your dechia from the army, United States Army, is if you're a rabbinical student, you can get a, you know, a dismissal. So he, like everyone else, he had to go to the Rosh Yeshiva of Huttner for, what's the word called when you get excused from the army? There's a word for it. Huh? Exemption. Maybe exemption. Yeah, okay, fine. So he had to get the exemption. So he went to Rav Huttner, like everyone else. Handed the form. He filled it out. Rav Huttner has to sign it. Everyone else just came out of the office and signed it. But when it came to, you know, I forgot his name, Lieutenant Birnbaum, he wasn't known by Lieutenant Birnbaum then, but he came in. Rev Huttner looked up and said, but you have to be learning in yeshiva 30 hours, it says, 30 hours. And you're only here afternoon Seder. You come afternoon Seder, or you only come morning Seder, or something like that. And so, like, he, like, couldn't believe it. Like, yeah, I know, but I'm short an hour and a half for the week, so I'll come an hour and a half a week, more. So Rav Huttner says, but it says that you had to have already be doing that. You can't take it on then. You have to be doing that to get the exemption. I can't sign this. So then he told over the story. I heard it with my own ears. I couldn't believe it. So he says, but Rebbe, if I go to the army, I could die. You know, you die. Go to the army, it was scary. And you go to the army. So it said, you know, Ribbono Shel Olam is sending you. He's sending you for a purpose. So you can't sign a piece of paper. But Huttner did not sign the piece of paper. And he was drafted into the army, and they read the book. Like he mamish, you know, he had developed such fantastic emunah from, first of all, emunas chachamim, that Rav Huttner told him he had to go, and he couldn't cheat on a form. He would have gotten out of it. Like, would they have checked? I don't. They probably weren't keeping attendance lists, and probably easily could have been maneuvered or adjusted. But Rav Huttner wouldn't sign the form. Powerful story. You know, yesterday, Rabbi Kleinerman said over a schmooze to the high school of Kikamocha Kaparo, which basically, you know, I think Yehuda was telling Yosef that, you know, you're putting a lot of stock into Paro, but, you know, you're just like Paro. He's Gozer, Ben Makayim. You know, he basically lied. He got you to become king, even though you weren't allowed to be king because you were, you know, you're a foreigner, you're an Eved. He should have made an amendment. He didn't make that. He just put you in. So it was Shmuz on MS. That's what he spoke about yesterday. So a boy came to me after the Shmuz, and one of the examples he gave yesterday was that, you know, so if you ask your friend, can I get the answers for you on a test, and he gives you the answers, then he's not your friend. Because that's what they were telling. What do you mean? Paro is my friend. I mean, I'm just like Paro. You're trying to make me upset. Paro is not really your friend. Don't have trust in him because he lied and he made you king. What do you mean he's not my friend? He made me king. I'm the king for Paro. So the kid came over and asked me, but what's Paro? I'm going to fail this test. I'm going to have to take the course again. And my friend, and by the way, the kid who asked me, needs a lot of help. You know, and the kid's going to help me. So what do you mean? He couldn't even understand it. Such a deher. That's why when I was looking at this marmokum last night, I like the hair. Like, not only is it a chiddush, but it's such a chiddush. The kid Mamish didn't understand. What do you mean? Like, to him, he Mamish did not know what he was talking about. He's not my friend, and that was the shmooze. You know, I don't go into Rabbi Kleinerman's shmooze, but he's not your friend because he's going to turn on you also. The same way he turned was what's good for him now, he's going to do what's good for him later. So he's not your friend. If he's lying to do it to you, like if someone says to you, you know, I'll tell you this, but don't tell anyone, so that's a riot. You should never talk to that person because he's your best friend, and you can tell him, so confide in him because now he's your friend. So you can be sure he's going to tell someone else also, don't tell anyone this, but you know what I heard from so-and-so. So that's the hair. The Maisel, again with the Chavetz Chaim, he wouldn't let any sefer go out until it was proofed. So he would write on each sefer, put a piece of paper. What's the word? Mugar. It was edited because he wanted to make sure there were no mistakes. So he went through each one. The pages were, you know, not stuck together, and the printing didn't get messed up. So he went through every page of every sefer before he sold it. And so his daughter was, you know, helping him go through it. So he went to get his daughter to come inside to help, and she was playing with her friends. And she said to him, I'm playing with my friends now, but when I come inside, I'll do 10 of them. So she came in like 2 hours later, and the Chavetz Chaim put on her bed, it says in the biography, 10 Sfarim on her bed, you know. And she came in and she said, like, you know, 10 swarms is a lot of swarms. You could do maybe one a night, and I do 10. So she said, like, 10 is too much. She said, you said 10. When a person says something, you have to honor what they said. And if you said 10, you have to do 10. So there were 10 swarms she had to do. There's the same mindset with the Ponovitch Rav. There's this famous story where Rabbi Yaakov, you know, did not eat kibbutz. This is famous. But same Maisa, because he was somewhere, didn't feel he could eat there. So he said he doesn't eat kibbutz, so he can't eat there. And the rest of his life, he kept kibbutz. So that's known. I had a Maisa myself. There's a guy in yeshiva, my brother, and I think we were like, you know, must have been like 22, 23, and I lived in Queens. I mean, I was, the yeshiva was in Queens, and my, you know, parents lived in Borough Park. And to get from Brooklyn to Queens was torture. There was not like nowadays, there were so many Brooklyn guys. There were no Brooklyn guys. I was the Brooklyn guy. And so you had to go by train and take a bus to the train and then take another bus from the train to my house. It was like, took an hour and a half, 2 hours to get from Queens to Brooklyn. No cars, taxis were, you know, expensive. So we wanted to get a car. My brother and I wanted to get a car. We went to partnership with my brother and we get a car. And there was a guy in yeshiva selling a car. So we said, okay, we'll buy your car. How much? So he said, $750. So I asked around, $750 for the car. It's probably a jalopy, $750 for a car. Even in those days, it's probably pretty cheap for a car. And we discussed it with my parents. They're going to help us, you know, we'll chip in, whatever. So we came back the next day. We wanted to tell him yes. And he says he spoke to his parents. And he said, it's crazy. $750 is like way too cheap. He looked into it. The car is worth $3,000. The Kelly Blue Book, Red Book, Black Book, whatever it's called, says it's worth $3,000, and he can't sell it for $750. So, you know, I don't know if I said something, or my brother said something, or he said something. I don't remember what made him. I said, oh, so the, you know, you said $750. I wasn't telling him he had to sell it to me for $750, but he said, you know, I'm going to ask a Shaila. So he went to Rye Wiener. And he came back later that day. He said, Rabbi Wiener said, since I said $750, I have to sell it to you for $750. He said, what? Oh my God, I never would have sold it to him for $750. What? So he sold it to us for $750. We gave him a check, which I had with me that day, thinking it was golden. We gave him a check for $750. I bought the car. But now I want to tell you on the other side of the story is that my brother and I, on the maiden voyage, we were driving up, it was like June, we were driving up to camp, where else would I be going? Going up to camp, and I say it was my brother's fault, he says it was my fault. He was supposed to check out the car by a mechanic, but he didn't, so we'll check it out next week, what could go wrong on a trip to the mountains. And the car, mamish, we saw a light go on, but to us it was a new car, so we didn't know anything about cars, so we saw a light, we had no idea what that light meant. But that was a light that said there's no oil in the car. Okay, we'll put in oil tomorrow, whatever. I didn't know anything about cars. And then like another 10 miles later, the car bumper blew up. All of a sudden, it put to the side on 17. It blew up, went to the side. So the car, you know, Mamish lasted a week. And when this person found out what happened, he was still to this day, every time I see him, he gets so angry at us. You took my car, you stole my car for $750, and then you ruined it. You know, he was so angry at me. He says, I should give him back his $750. I threw it out anyway. And she, oh, gosh. Okay, anyway, so just a deher. I mean, it's a Shmuel Mar to deher. The Torah's expectation for us, Alpi Emes, is mamish. So it's not just the deher and Emes, but it's like it's so far past the Chiddush here. It's like so far past where we're holding, that even the word approximately has to be taken with a little bit of, you know, has to be with honesty. Approximately. I hate when they ask, like, how many kids do you have in yeshiva? Approximately 1,100 kids. We don't have 1,100 kids. We don't have even 1099 kids. We have, you know, yeah, I don't know how many kids we have. I don't even like when they say how many kids. We have a lot of kids. Don't say how many kids. But I know the office is into that stuff. You know, it's good for marketing, but one has to be very careful what they say. Even the word approximately has to be, you know, can't be approximately. The approximately also has to be with a cheshbon. When do you get to say approximately? Baruch Hashem, we do that. People respect us, that our words mean something, that we're careful. And even though some people, sometimes it does require a little bit of, you may seem like a, you know, a stuffed shirt, stiff, and unbending, but we have to stick to MS, and we should help each other try and stick to that Madriga.